This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with showrooms in Canterbury and Maidstone, offering a range of new and approved used cars, including MG, Seat and Vauxhall. Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for listening to today's podcast on Tuesday, the 27th of September. Now, what do you think about short-term holiday lets or places like Airbnb? Perhaps you've stayed in one before. Well, new research has found that 9 in 10 people in Whitstable are concerned about the impact they're having on the town. It's actually something we've spoken about on the podcast before, and now the results of an online survey of residents have been published. It was carried out by the Canterbury District Green Party. First, let's hear the thoughts of Councillor Claire Turnbull, who represents the area.
I think what really struck me, and it was quite moving really, was that people were very upset, very distressed. We did a bit of door knocking as well when we were just before in the run-up to the public meeting. And again, there was a lot of passion there. People sort of, the way people were telling their story about having to not being able to find, you know, their lease coming to an end, not being able to find another property for a long term let because everything's going over to short term let, and not being able to live together as families or to, you know, to live close to their families and support each other in that way, which also came across strongly in the survey. It was this real sense of a loss of community, and people were very sad about it and passionate about it. So there was that angle. And also quite a lot of people were very distressed by living next door to busy short-term lets where they were having a constant turnover of people next door who were also in obviously sort of in holiday mode, and they're not really living as they would live if they were in their own home, and they were sort of coming and going, obviously, and then at different hours of the night, maybe partying, and they just, you know, and of course Whitstable is, it's narrow streets, it's a lot of terraced houses, they're old houses, they're quite small, very very close together, and it obviously has an impact when this is happening locally. And of course parking is a massive issue, as it always is, and people coming and staying in holiday lets and maybe bringing multiple cars because there's a couple of families coming or whatever, it all adds to the sort of that makes life more difficult for residents to sort of run their lives. And it was sad hearing people saying, you know, I don't feel I can go out because it's so busy, or because I won't be able to park when I get back. I mean, that's not just short term lets. We understand that. But also it is, you know, it is important to stress that people do appreciate that, you know, that it is a holiday town, and the town does need the visitor. So it just feels like the balance is tilted away from it being a lovely community place to live, and in favour of a sort of a constantly moving population, which in the end will be detrimental to the town.
How do you strike that happy balance then? Because as you say, most people appreciate that they're coming and spending an awful lot of money in Whitstable, which is great for the local economy. But we've spoken to people before who simply said, I don't feel that we've got a community like we used to have. So how do you strike that happy balance? What needs to be done?
Well, that's a very good question. And I think that a lot of communities around the country are trying to work on that. On that particular question, how do we strike that balance? I think the first thing is at the moment there's no sort of checks on people coming in and maybe buying up a house and just letting it out. Obviously, Airbnb is as a platform was set up for people to let out spare space in their house or to let their house while they're away. And of course, it's because there is no regulation around that, and they have got codes of conduct which people can sign up to if they wish to. But because there's no actual regulation, people are seeing an opportunity to just change it. So I think that the starting point you can have is to have to actually register, so that the council is aware of which houses are and are not being used, and it can begin to sort of make it a bit more complicated a few more hoops to jump through, I suppose, to be able to just set up like that. I think there's got to be some way of monitoring how people are going, and also how people are, if you are going to let it out as a short-term let, that it has been let out responsibly and respectfully.
So as you heard there, while residents are worried, they also appreciate that short-term holiday lets are good for the local economy. Well, Lucy joins me now with a bit more on this, because Kent Online have actually spoken to an Airbnb owner, haven't they?
Yes, this is Chris Cornell, who's also a Labour councillor in the town. He says they're vital for the tourist economy, but interestingly is in favour of there being some form of regulation. He goes on to say that if Whitstable didn't have them, a lot of jobs and trade simply wouldn't be there. He's told our reporter, "I pay business rates and have commercial cleaning contracts, so I'm not your average Airbnb owner, as I pay more than I'm forced to."
Thanks ever so much, Lucy. Well, Whitstable is ranked as the eighth most popular town in the UK for second homeowners, with Albert Street thought to have among the highest concentration. We'd love to know what you think about this story today. You can comment on the story on the website or get in touch via our socials.
Kent Online News.
Some other top stories for you today. And a man's been taken to a London hospital following a serious crash on the M2. He had to be freed by firefighters after a lorry and van collided between Gillingham and Sittingbourne at about 6 this morning. The motorway was closed for more than 2 hours, causing long delays in the surrounding area. The family of a young footballer from Aylesford, described as lovely and bubbly, say they still don't understand why she died. 20-year-old Danielle Cubitt passed away in her sleep at the end of last month. Relatives are now fundraising for a memorial bench in her honour. A teenage boy has been arrested after a police chase led to a search of Herne Bay Cemetery. A car failed to stop in the Canterbury Road area yesterday evening and then crashed into another vehicle. The police helicopter, armed officers and dog units were deployed to find the occupants, who ran off on foot. A 17-year-old was detained. It's emerged an elderly man who was hit by a motorbike and killed near Ashford had complained about safety in that exact spot. Chris Smith was knocked down while crossing the A262 Tenterden Road in Biddenden. The 72-year-old had apparently written to Kent County Council just 3 weeks earlier. Bosses say they're unable to comment while a police investigation is ongoing. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been told how some small businesses in Folkestone town centre face tough choices this winter. We've all heard about the cost of living, and its impact is still continuing to be felt in the county. Now, a number of firms in the high street, including restaurants, have closed down. But on the flip side, some have decided to launch, just as the government's pledge to discount wholesale energy costs for non-domestic users for 6 months from October. Rhys has been chatting to Kieran Blindell, the owner of newly opened Fond Coffee.
We started our first coffee shop. We're a coffee roastery, started a few years back, but we actually went into cafes 2 weeks before COVID hit. We opened one in Canterbury, and then that was quite a success. Then we opened one in Dreamland in Margate. That's, of course, seasonal. So now we've looked at Folkestone for about the past year, looking at different units, and finally found them that we liked and managed to agree a nice deal on it. And I'm just really excited to be here to open it. So.
Yeah. And what's the sort of reaction been so far then from people popping in?
Good? Yeah, positive? So far so good. We've made a lot of friends and had a lot of regular people come in already, and we've only been open for like 4 days now, so I'm really impressed with the reception, really.
Mm. And what was it about Folkestone that made you think this was a great place to sort of branch out to with a new venue?
Yeah, so I've seen Folkestone develop over the last 12 months in particular, and I think we're in at a part of the town where we're just reaching up from the harbour, and I think this is going to be the start of the next wave of development into the high street. So I think we've got a good foot forward in the meantime, and I think it's only going to do better.
Excellent. And is it a bit of a slightly nerve-wracking time to do it, given the sort of wider economic picture?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, all business is a bit scary sometimes, but I think if you've got a solid product and the ideas behind it, if you're sure about what you're doing, then you're going to succeed no matter what the economic climate is. So just got to believe in what you sell and hope other people jump on the bandwagon. So
yeah, and I mean, Folkestone is well stocked for coffee places.
It is, yeah, it is.
That's a bit of a sort of running joke among the locals. It's almost a bit of a sort of Darwinistic sort of survival of the fittest, I guess, in a way, because the market will decide, won't it?
It will.
The product will what will.
Product talk for itself.
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, I think if we treat it a bit like a bit of a community hub, then make friends with the locals, all the staff we employ on our locals. So I think all they just need is a bit of training the way we would do things compared to other people. And the interactions with customers will be really genuine, and that's what customers come back for.
Yeah. And do you think that your business sort of fits in with that vibe of what you think Folkestone, you know, you said you've seen Folkestone developing and,
yeah,
you know.
I think we picked Folkestone because it does fit with what we're trying to do, and the kind of people that are moving to Folkestone or generally already here are people that we want to sort of be around, and I think, yeah, good vibes around.
Well, we'd love to hear your story. Perhaps you're the owner of a small business. You can get in contact with us via our socials, or you can email news@thekmgroup.co.uk.
This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with car dealerships in Canterbury and Maidstone.
A care home in Tunbridge has been put in special measures after residents were found to have dirty nails, clothes and unexplained bruises. The Care Quality Commission carried out an unannounced inspection at Barnes Lodge, which has now been rated inadequate. It'll be kept under review and visited again within the next 6 months to make sure improvements are made. It's more fallout from last week's mini budget for you now, and the podcast has been hearing how house building in Kent needs to benefit the whole county and help those wanting to get on the property ladder. It's after Kent was named as a potential investment zone by the government. What does that mean? Well, it would see some restrictions eased, so large-scale developments could be pushed through much quicker. Tunbridge Green councillor Mark Hood says there needs to be caution, though.
The idea that we can potentially lose things like control over the green belt in an area like Tunbridge Morling, which is 70% green belt, is truly horrifying for, I think, all residents here and across Kent. We need to make sure that the housing that does get built here actually works for the people who live in Kent, so that the people who can't get on the housing ladder have got housing for rent at a rate that they can afford.
Our colleagues at KMTV have also been speaking to Councillor Derek Murphy. He's Kent's Cabinet Member for Economic Development.
Yes, I think there is a need for more housing in Kent, but it has to be sustainable. It has to sort of work in with the environment, and also it has to provide communities which are communities of well-being. It's no good just sticking 10,000 houses in the middle of a field somewhere. It's just not the right thing to be doing. Until, to be quite honest, we see the exact details of what the government are proposing, we are certainly not going to make any decisions.
You can let us know what you think of this story today by commenting on it by heading to Kent Online. Meantime, an investigation's revealed Kent County Council has sold £40 million worth of land and buildings to housing developers over the last 3 years. That includes school playing fields, libraries and education centres. Bosses say getting rid of unused property generates more money for investment into public services, but there are calls for them to be sold to community groups instead of just the highest bidder. Deadly asbestos has been discovered in the offices of Swale Council during a £2 million revamp. It means meetings have been moved from the old building on East Street in Sittingbourne. There are also questions over whether the dangerous material was flagged up in previous surveys.
Kent Online reports.
A really interesting piece next on the podcast. Journeys in a part of Kent made by people using a wheelchair have been described as like dicing with death. Councillor Tim Prater is able-bodied but has been out in a wheelchair in Folkestone to see what it's like for those who need them to get around. He's been telling the podcast exactly what it was like.
It's been a huge series of different challenges. It's really interesting. It's been really interesting to see the things that you wouldn't normally think about day to day as the challenges and experiences that they have been. So, the route that we've taken today, we've been through a number of places. We found pavements that have got street lights in, which have made the pavement too narrow to get a wheelchair down. I've met roads that you can't cross because you haven't got drop curbs. I've met pavements that are covered in shingle, which has meant that the wheelchair has swerved from left to right. I've seen accessible drop curbs which are in place, which have got a lip on them, which meant you can't get up over them safely. And then coming down through Folkestone, you'd think that something like the Road of Remembrance, coming down the Road of Remembrance in a wheelchair, mentally you think that's really easy. Mentally you think, well, that's going to be okay. As long as you control your speed, then you're going to be okay. And it was the hardest thing I think I've seen. I was in a powered chair and it was really hard steering down the Road of Remembrance. My colleague Adam, who was in a manual chair, has pledged that he's never doing that again. It was a near-death experience as far as he is concerned. And actually, you know, a couple of times, he had to stop himself by putting a foot out to save himself falling out, which is not, as a luxury, not available to other people. Coming along here to the Harbour Arm now, which is great. Now you're on the Harbour Arm, it's flat and it's open and it's got some good, decent, accessible seating, and it's got a beer that I can't begin to tell you how welcome that is. But we come along the boardwalk to get there, and in a wheelchair, that was horrible. And I've walked along it time after time as a local resident to the Harbour Arm, and never thought about it, never thought about how bad an experience it would be in a wheelchair, and it's horrible. It makes you feel sick. I was in the manual chair coming along there. I've pushed myself along it. You keep getting caught in ruts. You'll have seen video of me getting caught and swerving from left to right, and that's before the beer. And it's just a really inaccessible experience. And that's what's been the eye-opener today, of how many little things, little different things, have made it much harder than it needs to be as a place to get around. And some of the adjustments to make fix them would be really easy. And that's what I'm taking from it at the moment, is that there are some things that if you just thought about them, you could fix them.
Well, a real eye-opener for Tim and his colleague there. The mobility group who organise this whole thing are hoping it'll lead to more awareness and changes. You can let us know how you've been affected. Perhaps you use a wheelchair and struggle to get around where you live. We'd love to tell your story. Do contact us via the website. Royal Mail has unveiled four new stamps in memory of the Queen. The black and white portraits of the late monarch are the first stamps to have been approved by King Charles. The photographs taken between 1952 and 1996 will be released in a special commemorative presentation pack when they go on sale in November. A Kent restaurant has been recognised at the annual TripAdvisor Awards. The Hyde and Fox in Hythe has been named third best fine dining restaurant in the UK and 12th in Europe. And finally, Kent's first Wendy's restaurant has officially opened today. The American Diner is in the old Carphone Warehouse store in Maidstone Town Centre. It's one of 50 new branches planned across the UK. You can see photos today by heading to Kent Online.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket and all-rounder Darren Stevens' Kent career has been celebrated today as he leaves the club after 17 years. The 46-year-old joined from Leicestershire back in 2005 and has gone on to score more than 22,000 runs. Well, in the lunch break of their final match of the season at Canterbury, the 46-year-old was welcomed to the outfield for a special presentation. Paul Downton is the club's director of cricket, and I spoke to him about Stevo after their victory in the One Day Cup.
Darren has had a very good tournament. But before that, you know, he's had a fantastic cricket career, and to be still playing at 46 is a testament to him and his energy and appetite to keep going. And, you know, I'm a Kent legend. I think so many people can identify with him, certainly from Kent supporters and Kent members' point of view. You know, he's been absolutely, well, Steve-O is God, as they say. And for him, you know, he's unfortunately picked up a groin strain in the game itself. He was going to play in our last one or possibly two championship matches, but that's now not going to be the case. So, yeah, his last game for Kent will be in a final. And as he said before, I think he's played in four previous finals, not won one of them. And so to finish his last 2 years with the T20 Blast Trophy last year, and now the Royal London Cup this year, is a fitting way to finish. And he'll take some very good memories away with it, I'm sure.
Many, many congratulations to Darren on a fantastic career at Kent, and we do wish him all the very best for the future. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and TikTok. And you can also get access to the ad-free Kent Online premium site. To do that, you need to subscribe. Just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. This podcast is sponsored by the FG Barnes Group, with showrooms in Canterbury and Maidstone, offering a range of new and approved used cars, including MG, Seat and Vauxhall.